Second of all, and from a political point of view, probably more importantly, this intensified persecution of the Calvinists aroused an awful lot of opposition among the public. And indeed, at the execution of Calvinists at Valenciennes in 1562 and at Antwerp in 1564, there were already public riots against the proceedings. There were a lot of reasons for the opposition to the persecutions of the Calvinists. First of all, some people themselves had Calvinist sympathies. Calvinism was respectable. Second of all, many people in the Netherlands had a kind of principled objection to executions for religious crimes. This seems to have been a feature of the Netherlands in general, and actually extended not just to Protestants or Protestant sympathizers, but also to Catholics. A lot of Netherlanders Catholics didn't like the idea of executing people for religious heterodoxy. Third of all, and this may seem somewhat strange to in our present age, the prosecutions of heretics often tended to violate local legal privilege. The reason was that heresy laws were classified as a kind of treason. This was a secular offense. And for the crown to do this was to challenge a cornerstone of the legal system in the Netherlands. Most towns and most provinces had the right in the Netherlands to try persons who had been accused of crimes committed inside the boundary of that town or that territory. The only exception, traditionally speaking, to this rule were crimes which touched the crown's prerogative, crimes like treason or crimes like forgery. The number of forgery cases in an average year, or even the number of treason cases, was usually very small. So in the experience of most legal and civic officials in the Netherlands, the number of times when the crown would come along and say, we're going to assume jurisdiction over this case, that even though it took place in your own territory, was really very small. But once the heresy prosecutions had been ratcheted up, the local authorities found themselves facing thousands of cases in which the crown was assuming jurisdiction. And this represented a kind of unprecedented invasion of the legal rights and privileges of the local authorities. And for that reason, local authorities began to directly resist the activities and efforts of the inquisitors. And this resistance to the heresy laws, interestingly enough, was often extremely effective. There were no heretics at all executed in the province of Holland after the year 1553. And in the province of Friesland, there were almost none executed after 1557. In the province of Brabant, the authorities kept the inquisitors out of towns and confined them to the countryside, which must have made their lives difficult since most of the Calvinists lived in the towns. In Flanders, the town of Bruges went so far to actually arrest and imprison two of the inquisitors in 1564. And after the fall of Cardinal Granvelle in the year 1564, the heresy laws in the Netherlands almost ceased to be observed. The entire mechanism of heresy prosecution ground to a halt. In December of 1564, the government in Brussels, and it's interesting that it's the government in Brussels that does this, sent Count Egmont to Spain to request a formal moderation of the heresy laws. It turns out that Egmont arrived at a really bad time. Philip II was expecting the Turks to strike the island of Malta. He was not really prepared to deal with these requests from the Netherlands, and so Philip fobbed Egmont off with vague promises to he would consider the request, he would think about it. But Philip didn't really commit himself to anything, and he actually explicitly ruled out any drastic changes to the heresy laws. Nevertheless, when Egmont returned to the Netherlands, he made two crucial announcements. First of all, he said, the king had told him that heretics were no longer to be burnt. Second of all, and this is equally important, Egmont announced that the demands of the Malta crisis were going to prevent Philip from visiting the Netherlands that year. That is to say, everybody knew that the king was not coming back anytime soon. Now, whether or not Egmont was deliberately deceived or whether he somehow deceived himself is not clear. But one way or another, the fact that Egmont's announcements were inaccurate was exposed in July when letters arrived from Philip commanding the execution of certain convicted Anabaptists. And this hard line would be further restated in Philip II's famous or infamous letter from the Segovia Woods, which arrived in the Netherlands in November of 1565 and demanded complete and thorough execution of the heresy laws. The Netherlandish aristocracy now faced a fairly stark choice. They could either comply with the enforcement of the heresy laws, or they could deliberately disobey the king's direct orders. The choices that they made and the consequences that followed will be discussed in our next lecture.